It seemed like they had blown everything all week, so they might as well blow that too. That's kind of the way I looked at it. But, it'd be perfect. And it's going to be Lita. And then she comes out with the prison tattoo.
Actually, I was kind of hoping she'd be drafted to do something other than the pre-show. You know, they really want to cause a ruckus on the show. They really should have Renee Young join the commentary team on Raw. That would have been huge. Oh,
we were talking about that the other day, and Terry was in the car, and she said, why isn't Renee Young on Raw if she's so good? And I'm like, because there's still sort of a chauvinist company, and what most people don't know is the announcer is more important than a main event wrestler almost to them, mm-hmm. or to him. You know, so an announcer's like The Rock or Steve Austin or The Undertaker, more so than Dean Ambrose is. That's more important. So to take that chance, that's really when they're actually doing something. That's when they're really taking a chance, when Renee Young's on the show. Renee Young, yeah. Corey Graves, Raw's awesome and new feeling. That's just my opinion. I think we've talked about that before.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, by the way, welcome to Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly dose of wrestling news and commentary. We just finished Battleground 2016, the WWE live event on the WWE Network. We're going to talk about that. We're going to discuss this week in wrestling news, maybe some another couple minutes on the draft and how it shook up, because they changed the announcers on us right after we put the show together and posted it on the internet. They literally, oh, by the way, here are the announcer. We were changing things up. And then we've also got a little bit of information on the broken Matt Hardy, which is awesome, as well as a review, quick review on the Scott Hall DVD making the rounds. I'm looking forward to checking out the Eric Bischoff DVD myself. That should be very good. But anyway, we also have Kalisto making the rounds in the news. We've got so much fodder from the WWE draft and the analysis show that they had, which was even better than the draft, in my opinion.
Yep.
And of course, taking your questions and comments on Facebook as well. This episode of Pro Wrestling Cast brought to you by our good friends at Amazon.com. Hey, check this out. ProWrestlingCast.com is your one-stop shop for everything shopping, whether you're shopping for wrestling gear or stuff for the house. Amazon has been a day one supporter of Pro Wrestling Cast, and you can click on our banner, and you, by doing that, can pick up everything you ever wanted or needed on Amazon like you normally would, or even sign up for Amazon Prime service using our link, and then Amazon gives us a little bit of credit for that, and they support our show because we bring it to you live every single week here on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and YouTube, which we would also appreciate a big like and subscribe to us as well. We also have links for High Spots, WWE Network, and WWE Shop, as well as T-Blocks in there. So many great places for you to shop. I tell you what, go ahead, do yourself a favor, do us a favor, and support your favorite pro wrestling show. It's unlike any other wrestling podcast because it's got a bunch of cool elements in our video and audio show.
Because it's recorded well.
It's produced well.
That's what makes it unique.
Yeah, we actually make it sound like a real radio show, folks, which is funny because the only other real radio show out there is really like Taz, which is, and it sounds great, and we sound just as good. So, and sometimes maybe even better,
So we're not, and then it's even better than that because we're not fakes like him.
Wow. Okay. I like Taz. Hey now.
Fake tough
hey
guy.
Now. Hey now. I like.
I well, stay with my brother New Jack. Okay.
That's okay. You know what? Taz is a fun loving dude, and I'm on Team Taz. I really do. I appreciate that podcast. It's really cool. So anyway, we've got a lot to talk about tonight for WWE Battleground. Stay tuned. Pro Wrestling Cast is now.
Listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Aljon and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
So Bailey making it on tonight's show. I love it.
I looked over and my wife was crying. And she's like, oh, yeah, the wrestling pay-per-view, right? Mm-hmm. You know, she watches a lot of this stuff with me. She puts up with a lot. But she started crying when she came out because she knew, finally, you know. And the match was awesome, too, except for that fucking one girl. But, yeah, really magic, huh?
Yeah, I like the pay-per-view as a whole. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And then we're going to talk about some Hardy news and reviews on Scott Hall. I tell you, thank you so much for joining Pro Wrestling Cast, your weekly news and commentary every week provided by myself. I am Al John Go, lifelong wrestling fan, radio broadcaster, corporate spokesperson, and all-around geek. Also joined by our good friend and yours from Nashville, Tennessee. He is the wrestling historian and the man with the glove of injustice. I'm talking about the wrestling heel commentator, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
Owner of every Bathory album, even the Viking ones.
Wow, that's huge. That is hardcore.
And pretty I tell much, you, pretty much.
Not only do we talk about wrestling, we talk about hair, fashion, heavy metal. I mean, you name it, you know, we do it here on Pro Wrestling Cast because this is a show for you. And once again, we would appreciate you liking and subscribing to our show on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Give us those thumbs up. Give us those big likes. Leave comments on our page. Every single bit of that helps the algorithm. Every single comment and like helps us on our YouTube page. And we do appreciate it. We make it so easy for you to consume Pro Wrestling Cast on whatever platform you see fit. But if you are watching this via YouTube, understand that the audio podcast is also good because we add a few little bells and whistles in the audio show that don't make it on air because otherwise we'd have to pay a lot of royalties for it. So having said that, we are fresh off the heels of WWE Battleground. We're going to get to talk about that in just a little bit. But before we get into that, let's talk about Jeff Hardy because recently I tweeted Matt Hardy, Broken Matt Hardy, which, by the way, amazing interview he did in character on the Sam Roberts podcast. So I'm giving Sam a little shout out, and I am saying that that the podcast with him was great because he never broke character. It was really good. So I really want you guys and gals to seek it out. But I guess we should just go ahead and play the news of the week because we're going to talk about Jeff Hardy. So
this week in wrestling news.
About the woods.
Okay. What? Hey, look. So Jeff Hardy is at this Insane Clown Posse event. What is it? Bloody Mania?
Right? I believe it's called WrestleMania. Oh, wait, that doesn't sound right.
Because you know, everybody's really hot right now with this whole Final Deletion angle. Of it. Even to this day, it's still making headlines. People are still talking about it.
It's awesome.
I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, right? And it's not for me, it's not, you know, we've said this for weeks now. I mean, it's highly entertaining. Is it wrestling that we've come to know and love? No, it's kind of a hybrid kind of situation. But I have to say, you know, overall, you know, it's crazy over-the-top brilliance. And the fact that, you know, Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy are playing it straight, you know, and they're bringing it into Impact and they're doing what they can. It's over. I mean, this thing is over. And you know what? Here's the thing. I think if you're a diehard WWE fan and you look at this, you're never going to like it because it's not WWE.
I don't think that's true. I think it's a lot better. And I think if the WWE fans saw it and got the humor behind it, they would like it.
Well, that's the thing. If you got the humor, I think sometimes we have, you know, some people don't want to leave the WWE bubble per se. You know what I mean? The WWE presentation in and of itself, people have gotten used to it and people like what they like. Ultimately, I think that if you're, you know, a diehard WWE fan, if, you know, it's going to be difficult for you to look at this outside of what's going on in the WWE and how the WWE and you grew up on Kevin Dunn and Vince McMahon, how you liked your presentation. And that's completely fine. I'm not saying, like, for me, I think that the brawl that the Wyatts did with New Day at the Wyatt compound was good for what it was. I'm not, you know, I, I'm I'm not a fan of, I mean, I like Grindhouse and I love horror films. I think that it could have been done better and been done in such a way to make sense within the WWE narrative, which I think did not make sense. Like, there was no, you know, hey, there's a cameraman, you know, like JB, you know, or whatever the case is. And I'm not making a comparison to the final deletion. It is what it is, right? I mean,
the final deletion was much better. The final deletion was much better. I'll just say it.
Right.
It just was.
Right. You know, and some people say, like, okay, the guys at the another podcast who are friends of ours said that, you know, when you look at the legacy of the Hardy Boys, you know, and you see this match, that it's laughable, and they did not like it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't think people are going to look at this match as tarnishing their legacy. If anything, it's prolonged it, and now they're being known for something else other than TLC matches.
Well, I think, in my personal opinion, Matt Hardy could have played it easy and not done this, and he's really is, you know, acting like an artist does. You know, here he is nearing 40, or maybe he is 40. I think he's older than me. And, you know, he's taking a chance and doing something, and it might not be everybody's cup of tea, but the humor is sort of like so bad it's good, tongue-in-cheek kind of style, and that is right up my alley. I do think there have been positive results. The ratings went up 37%. People are, it's really the only impact thing that gets talked about on Twitter that I can see or anything.
At least in some type of positive light.
In a very positive light. I have not liked TNA for a while. I know we reviewed what it Bound for Glory and Slammiversary here and there and talked shit about Billy Corgan, you know, or whatever. But, you know, this is something that I've really been excited about watching. When they did the first skit where he got hurt on the, he was went to the compound and he got hurt, or the contract sign, he got hurt on the table, the big round table thing. I still thought, oh, this is stupid TNA. But I didn't realize that they were in on their own joke. You know, I didn't get it. And that's the key. You have to know that they're in on their own joke and say, this, it's a dilapidated boat, you know, and all this stuff and the fireworks. And, you know, a match is a match. And then a TV show is a TV show, and a segment that you break up over the course of a show is another thing, too. I just think it's the most entertaining thing I've seen. To say they've ruined their legacy, I wouldn't go there, because they haven't had anything they've done really amazing in 15 years. I mean, what have they done in the last 15 years that you can say, this was really outstanding? You know, that, you know, Matt had a decent feud with MVP, or Jeff Hardy like got too messed up to fight Sting. You know, I mean, there's really nothing in the last, since 2001. So bravo to Matt for, you know, creating a character and becoming it, and embellishing it more and more as the days go by. He's talking more and more about having a renowned scientist now that he's used to develop things for him, you know, and I really hope that we see the renowned scientist become a character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the character surrounding, you know, his renowned scientist developing Vanguard One, I cannot wait.
Yeah, because it's just a stupid, it's just a cheap, you know, drone that you could buy on Amazon. It's just a cheap drone. Like, look at them. Some of them are like $40.
But you know what? It's been blessed by the hand of the ultimate tech man himself, the innovator, the inventor of Vanguard One. So, hey, far be it for me to argue with that. But
I just want to see a spot. I just want to see a spot where the lights go out in the middle of a match and it comes on and Senior Benjamin has the taser.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I really, really dig it. And if I dig the fact that Matt Hardy loves my tweets about being part of the army of the Great War, being a good soldiers. You and I now, Stephen, are foot soldiers in the Great War, because Matt Hardy has christened us.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. So there we go. We are now soldiers in the Great War, and we can finally delete whomever we choose. And at his beck and call, we can delete on his behalf and help him delete.
And we will delete them again and again and again.
McMahon. We'll also
Ed Meglow, or perhaps you could go wrestle at the Honorable Wrestling of Japan of Honor. That was another good one. He's really on a roll. I mean, I get it. You know, it's not what it was, but whatever. I mean, you gotta do something. That show was so terrible. You might as well do something so bad it's funny.
Well, speaking of terrible, we have this clip, and I'm going to go ahead and screen share this. So for those of you watching on the video feed, you can see this for yourself, because here we have Jeff Hardy,
okay,
the deleted Jeff Hardy, and here he is. he is now checking out of the, or he's actually doing this this Bloody Mania event.
Yeah.
So here he is. He's destroying random things at ringside. Okay. I mean, look at him. There he is going through a table. Well, he's just, and there's nobody there. He's just, I mean, what the hell is going on here?
Well, Al John, I would say allegedly, but from my eyes, if you're just asking me, I would say that he's high.
Allegedly?
Allegedly?
We don't know what's going on.
I have no idea what's going on, but that's something that popped into my head. I mean, allegedly. But right. If you know, you do some at 4 a.m, you're going to do some maybe some Roman Reigns type of stuff mixed in with some X-Pac type of stuff. Maybe you could go, maybe Rob Van Dam is there with Sabu and his Winnebago type of stuff. And Sid, maybe even Sid Vicious is there. Did maybe. That all make sense to everybody, allegedly?
Yeah.
So by naming people instead of things?
Oh, once again, there he is, just literally ruining himself doing bumps on inanimate objects. And
another man who's been waiting anxiously with anticipation, his name is Jeff Harvey.
I quite frankly think it's awesome. It's wonderful.
There you have it. Well, he is broken after all. He is, I mean, he's not broken. I'm sorry. He is deleted.
It fits in with the storyline. I hate to say it. It fits in with the storyline.
They may even make that into an angle on Impact, you know, and just say, hey, look, ICP, we want to use some of this footage and say, there's Brother Nero. There's my Brother Nero. And he is making a mockery of this business we call professional wrestling. You know,
well, I'd heard the match itself. He had botched a couple of spots in ways that people were a little concerned about. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a botchy wrestler, though. And allegedly.
Well, it's highly, highly documented. So we have that. Now, before we get into, do we have any other wrestling news before we go into a review of the Battlefront?
I hear.
Battlefront. I mean, talking Battleground.
Battlefield.
Battlefield. We are Love is a Battlefield by WWE pay-per-view event. Prepare the Battlefield for Massacre. Mr. Senior Benjamin.
Senior Benjamin, one of my favorites. And again, I'm into everything. Maxwell, Rebecca, Reby, Matt Hardy's promos. Jeff Hardy is the broken brother. Senior Benjamin, I'm very into. I'm very into Vanguard 1. I'm into the holograms, and I'm into the idea, like I said, of they're introducing another character and a claimed scientist.
I'm into the lawnmower, and I'm into the scribe.
The scribe. I'm really into everything about it 110%.
Brother Nero! I see you've met my fleet of aerial assault robots. You are now speaking to Vanguard 1.
Yeah. I mean, just to be very honest, I like everything he's done for months and every moment of everything. And that's just the way it is.
Give us some news.
Simon Gotch, I guess, taking a break from botching all of the spots in his heatless tag team matches.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Decided to get beat up by Sin Cara.
Okay. So, and if you don't know, this is Sin Cara. This is Hunico, by the way.
Who's
the artist formerly known as Hunico, who's been Sin Cara longer than has been Hunico.
And Sin Cara, by the way, the ones you all remember who's on Botchamania is now Caristico.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And he was recently injured in CMLL Elite and replaced by Teddy Hart with his cat, Mr. Money. Everybody's taking notes. Mr. Money is a very, very interesting feature to Teddy Hart's newer act. I forgot where I was going. Ah, yes. They were in catering, and Simon Gotch had a fight with Sin Cara and lost very badly. Apparently, it was very one-sided. And back home, we'd call a show enough ass whipping.
He got squashed, and
I gotta tell you, I think it's pretty damn funny. I shouldn't say that. That's a
but why is it that they got into an altercation to begin with?
Well, a lot of it has to do with cutting in line. No, I really don't know why they got into fight at catering. You know, they're both tag teams who are about to be drafted, and they had just announced that Sin Cara's tag team had been split up. And, you know, the Vaudevillains have just been a complete sack of shit on the main roster. They haven't done anything right. They have no heat. I said it about a month ago. When I saw them come out and they didn't play their music and they came out from commercial break and they're already there, you're done. You're done. So they probably were having a conversation like that. Maybe Sin Cara said all of that to him that I just said just now.
Ay vey. Well, okay. So we talked about Botch Jeff Hardy. We talked about
Simon Botch. And he's taken off the road now, but Sin Cara did not.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
That was interesting.
Interesting. So we have Battleground. Did you have any other outside of WWE TNA promo stuff that we're talking about? Because last week, you know, I did mention the fact that we had promoted the Dutch Mantel show at the Nashville Zanies here, as he's doing his one man show, which is going to be great, by the way.
Right.
So how about what else is going on in the world of professional wrestling?
I've been watching the G1. I mean, they have many, many nights of it. But I've already seen some really good matches. I saw a really good match, Tanahashi against Sonata. I saw probably the most fun I've seen is Naito against Michael Elgin. I've also Mara Fuji picking up a big win over Okada. That match was all outstanding. I'll put those in the 4-star range. But this is going to go on for quite a while. Again, I'm going to go with Naito pulling out the upset. But they've arranged it very specifically. Some of these nights you can actually see for free if you have a Japanese scribe to help you. If you don't have Google Chrome to help you with getting onto the New Japan Pro Wrestling very hard to understand page.
Well, I tell you what you could if you wanted to. We do talk about what's on the Fight TV app, which is FITE. And right now you could be streaming the Shine pay-per-view, Shine 36, that happened this past Friday. And, you know, if you want, go ahead and check it out. I hear it's really awesome. I have yet to see it, but I will. The Shine Championship match is Eva Lise defending against Su Young. Also in there, Marty Bell, Jane Jamison, Amanda Carolina Rodriguez, La Rosa Negra, SoCal Val, Andrea, Amber Gallows, Tracy Taylor, Allison Kay, Xandra Bale, Latasha, Kandani Brink, Maria, Candy Cartwright, Raquel, and Kelly Klein in there. And it's only $10. So definitely check out that Shine show. The latest episode of Ring of Honor is also on there, episode 252.
Oh, it's fantastic, too.
Robert Strong and Dalton Castle's on that show. That should be pretty cool.
I believe that's the one, if you don't mind me interrupting, with the Jay Lethal angle, which is big time. I might be turning him babyface.
Very cool.
Excellent angle.
Oh, very cool. So definitely check that out. And we have that. And of course, Evolve 65 in there. We mentioned that last time. But you can check that. You can even check the replay of a Ring of Honor Best in the World. That's on there as well. So a lot of really cool things there, including highlights from TNA, which is also very cool. And the latest, they did add this. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but AJ Styles, the missing matches, has been updated on the documentary on the Fight TV app. So definitely check that out. Get to see some matches from the phenomenal AJ Styles. And I think that's even free. Oh, no, it's $1.99. No,
it's very inexpensive. It's $1.99 probably because he has his old haircut. But they do have a lot of, I mean, they really have a lot of killer matches on there.
Well, yeah. And there you'll see matches with CM Punk, Matt Hardy, Samoa Joe, and Chris Daniels, Christian, Jeff Jarrett, Daniels, Johnny Storm, and Jody Fleisch, Zima Ion, Johnny Gargano, Delirious, Tony Nese, and Facade. So that's not bad for $1.99. I mean, it looks like a lot of great wrestling action.
Yeah, all great wrestlers except for Delirious.
Okay. Now, let's go ahead and talk about WWE Battleground. It did happen tonight. This is the first live event post-WWE draft. And I tell you, once again, WWE draft, pretty crazy, adhering to the rules on air and then not adhering to rules off air. There were so many great things. Once again, like I said, the Cesaro promo, the Kalisto promo, which is our promo of the week, mind you, unscripted stuff. Daniel Bryan saving Shane McMahon's ass. That was also very good.
Right.
You know, and that was all on the app show. But they did release what was going on with the WWE voice talent, of course, behind the scene or after the show, after the draft. Heath Slater was left and not being drafted. And now, as I posted on our Facebook page, Heath Slater is the number one free agent for the WWE.
Yeah, and they're doing an angle where he's going to go to Evolve, he says. And that should be pretty funny, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing, yes. This Evolve WWE relationship's actually been very beneficial to WWE, at least. So we'll see how that all turns out. We have to talk about Jerry Lawler.
So
Lawler has his job.
Yeah, well, here at the bottom of that show, we'd already done the after show and posted it to the internet when very late in the day they decided to go ahead and announce that the announcing team would be changed. And of course, at the end of our show, we're like, hey, whatever happened to the change in announcing teams? And I said, I guess they're not changing, but they are.
Yeah.
And announced on WWE.com, Monday Night Raw's announced team will now be the head announcer, Michael Cole, joined by NXT and pre-show announcer Corey Graves, and by Byron Saxton. So he's not going anywhere.
Brian Sexcastle.
SmackDown Live will now be Mar Ronello, who's been doing that now. He's lead announcer.
Fantastic.
Joined now by David Otunga,
okay,
who had been doing commentary on Superstars and some pre-show work, as well as the legendary SmackDown announcer, JBL. So a little bit of a shift there for the show.
I'm a little unhappy with the JBL thing. Mauro's very good. I mean, I think on one show I said, I'm not going to get on board just because everybody else did. But, you know, he's fantastic. He talks about Kawada and Misawa and stuff on, you know, and then he's so exciting and excitable. He's tremendous. I don't want JBL to kind of throw him off with his BS, but I guess that really all depends on how much Vince is willing to coach him in the situation. And now we'll see Mauro in a 3-hour pay-per-view setting. And I think people will really be taken by how good he is if they haven't heard him yet. I will say that, you know, with SmackDown's roster looks, I'm just really unimpressed with the SmackDown roster, but Mauro might be able to fix it.
He'll make it viewable. But I mean, the thing too is that we know that there will be other surprises in my thought process. Well, first of all, let me talk about the announcing. Okay, first and foremost. So when in a time where diversity is important for television executives and you know, just for a lot of people, you know, you've got Byron Saxton, you've got Corey Graves, you know, very young, Michael Cole, you know, but Corey Graves, even though he has been an in-ring performer, he is not a former, you know, big time WWE superstar. And typically they fill those slots with people that have held championships before, like a Booker T, like a Jerry Lawler, you know, like a, you know, and a performer like a Bobby Heenan or Jesse Ventura or Macho Man.
Heenan was a tremendous worker.
Yeah, right. And
yeah,
so,
he was.
The important thing about having color commentary, when someone's doing play-by-play and doing the selling that needs to happen, the verbiage, Michael Cole, the Mar Ronellos, the JRs in the world, you know, the Todd Grishams of the world, however you want to talk about it. Now, you have to have someone that has had experience, and Corey Graves, albeit he has experience in the indies and he had experience in NXT, brings a nice fresh outlook to the program, but he's never had a main championship. He hasn't had that big-time WWE run.
Yeah.
Versus someone like JBL, who can talk about that. And if I'm doing color commentary as Amara Ronaldo, I'm going to go to JBL and I say, JBL, I mean, you know exactly what it was like to hold the championship longer than anyone else in SmackDown history. Can you speak about this? Or can you speak about your experience when you wrestled The Undertaker at this high level? Can you tell me about what it was like to perform in front of 97,000 people, you know, on a pay-per-view or whatever the case is? JBL can speak to that because of his experience. Corey Graves has a very limited experience set. So I'm very, you know, I'm kind of taken back that you have two young announcers in a Byron Saxton and a Corey Graves on Monday Night Raw without the veteran performer there doing that, doing color.
Well, I think JBL is really bad, first of all. Mm-hmm. I feel like Brian Saxton and David Otunga, from what I hear, they're you know, they wanted an African-American announcer on either show, mm-hmm. on each show. And then, you know, Corey Graves, you're right about his lack of experience in the ring. But
he's a very good announcer.
But he's, more than proven himself, like Renee, like we were talking about. And then, you know, you got Michael Cole on there. So I think in Vince's mind, he's got Cole under control. Corey's new. And then you got, you know, Byron's been kind of there.
Right.
And then in the other one, you got Mauro, who I don't know what he thinks of Mauro, you know.
Well, obviously, he's, you know, I don't know.
I mean, he came highly accredited. He had to know that, right?
Well, of course, he knew that and he's heard him. But as we all know from a lot of the podcasts that have been released from former WWE creative writers over the course of the past few years, that he doesn't necessarily listen or see SmackDown a lot. So, you know, he has someone very competent. And yes, the commentary on SmackDown is a lot different than the commentary on Monday Night Raw.
Well, he'll be changing that now, because if it's live, then he coaches the announcers.
Yeah, then it's going to be Vince. Vince is going to be there losing more sleep.
And that will Vince's day to sleep is Wednesday. That's what his doctors told him to do. But, you know, Tuesday night, he's going to be screaming at Mauro Ranallo, and he'll have JBL bullying him. That could turn into a problem. That scares me. But who knows how it'll really go. Vince is likely to lose interest and then eventually get SmackDown canceled. That's probably what's going to happen. I hate to talk like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know... I don't know. Mauro's the best thing they've done with SmackDown so far still. You know, because now I'm hearing Randy Orton's going to be the top babyface because Cena can't be in the road. Did you hear that? Randy Orton, top babyface?
Someone that hasn't been around for 9 months, and we're going to talk about that in his highlight reel, which was interesting. But just to put a button on this commentary situation, Jerry the King Lawler is now doing the pre-show with Booker T, also with Lita, and of course our favorite Renee Young.
Yes,
conspicuously absent. I mean, I believe wholeheartedly that one of the announced teams at some point within the next year should have a female representative on there, not just backstage, but full time. On face role with three people. I'm sorry.
You're telling the wrong guy. I know.
Yeah.
Trust me.
It just doesn't make any sense. She is one of the best shining stars of all of this new era. When you talk about the new era, you can talk about Corey Graves. You can talk about Mauro Ranallo. You have to put Renee Young in the conversation. Always.
If you want to say, okay, Michael Cole has the experience and Mauro is a hot new stud announcer, mm-hmm. you know, you got to still say that Renee's better than a JBL or a Corey Graves or, you know, or Byron Sex Castles and all this shit. I mean, he really is. You know, she's definitely better than Otunga.
Well, she's definitely on her toes. She's always on point with her pop culture references, just like Corey Graves. They're very much on the up and up. And I do believe that they are going to be the future of this business. And I hope that they treat her right because she needs to stay. I think her, Corey Graves, definitely, and Mauro Ranallo are definitely people you need to cultivate. But
my thought on Lawler is this. You know, they're trying to slowly shove Lawler out the door the same way they did to Ross. The same chain reaction. Ross goes to SmackDown, blah, blah, blah. Lawler doesn't need the money and he doesn't need the work, okay? I'm having that in mind, too. Now, when I'm watching the pre-show, and I don't know if you saw him in the pre-show and in the middle of the show, he seemed like he said about two words the whole time.
Yeah,
I think he's out of there soon. I don't think he's going to make it too much longer. I think he's just going to go.
Yeah, he doesn't care. So we're moving along. WWE Battleground, of course, happened. And very interesting stuff. Overall, I say this was a great pay-per-view. I mean, the people were hot there in Washington, D.C.
Strong pay-per-view.
Strong. There's a lot of great work involved, you know, from what I could tell on the pay-per-view. Unfortunately, I did have the volume down a little bit low because I'm having to do a bunch of other things, multitasking, and I will catch this again. But I definitely saw there was a lot of great matches in there. And there was a spot, and I just have to mention it before we move on. There was a spot in the women's match that I thought just about killed Bayley. I thought she was dead for a minute.
Well, you know, they were taking a lot of chances in that match, and you know, it was a really snug match. You know, normally in a pay-per-view, I would have said it was the best match, even with Dana Brooke in it. Again, the crowd really made this pay-per-view, though. That's the funny thing.
It adds to the energy of the presentation. If the crowd is really into it, like in Chicago, you know, they're in Chicago is just, to me, just one of the off-the-chain places to go.
Yeah, but this was like Orlando. A better crowd. This was a better crowd.
This was Chicago. A good crowd. In DC. It was a better crowd. I mean, so let's go ahead and talk about it. We had the very first pre-show match here, and we had Uso and Fandango and Breeze get in with a non-advertised match. It was just one of those things they threw together, and what the hell?
What a treat.
Yeah, for Breeze wins, or Breezango wins.
Well, the Busos, I mean, they got nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they are just booed, and and they suck, and I've never liked them. And now they're, you know, their bread and butter basically is perhaps in the bad house, the shit house. Mm-hmm. So they took this little loss, relatively clean loss, you know, a top rope maneuver turns into a roll up, and you know, the match didn't set the world on fire, but you know, it gave Breezango, or whatever you want to call him, a nice bit of something. This was a SmackDown clash. Now, obviously, they want American Alpha to carry this brand. But it was probably the right thing to do to have Breezango go over. The Usos need I need them to stop. You see, this is what's wrong with the draft. You need a bunch. You need to use everybody because you're splitting in half. And now I got to deal with the Usos more, and they're heatless. They're heat seeking listenness.
Well, that's because they've never given them a chance to show any type of personality outside of their Samoan fight dancing in the very beginning. They're just. It's just not there.
The fight dancing is it's okay for like a year, and then it just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Well, because they just, once again, they think, oh yeah, well, they're over enough so they can get by with the very minimum. And that's not true. You need to position them in such a way where they actually look strong and whatever they do is meaningful. And they haven't done that. They haven't done any type of vignettes or anything for them. So there's deadness. There.
They just seem like boring kids to me, you know?
Yeah, well, they have a lot of potential, and I think they had a lot of potential in the draft show. You know, they showed a little bit more personality, and I think that's where they really do shine, is when they're able to show personality, as we all saw. That's why people will tune into live shows, because anything can happen, and it's not so pretentious. So, moving forward, let's talk about the women's match. We alluded to it. Charlotte Dannebrooke versus Sasha Banks and the mystery partner, and what do you know? I was right. Out comes Bayley, and to a massive pop, a great way to start the pay-per-view on the WWE Network, Steven.
Well, if this was a test, if Triple H hypothetically said, hey, or Michael Hayes said, hey, let her come out, she can see her, we'll see what kind of pop she gets. I mean, she got like Stone Cold Steve Austin's pop.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally did. Okay, so if we said that, you know, we hear that AJ Styles got over with the front office by the pop at Royal Rumble, mm-hmm. you know, and I know they wanted to hold her off until Charlotte and Sasha have this feud run through SummerSlam and bring her in September. And JBL indicated that Bayley, this was like a one-time thing. And Cole said, well, I'm not so sure about that, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. All of that being said, it couldn't have been any better of a debut. It's just that she'll go back for two months again.
Yeah.
But you know, I was, you know, it seems so sad for her, and I thought, what would it be nice if she came out? My wife was crying. The match was snug. Sasha looked awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte has gained a lot of weight.
I actually like the way Charlotte looks.
I didn't say anything one way or another about that. I just noticed optically there seemed to be some sort of weight gain.
I think maybe she got some work done. Maybe she got like some Botox or something. I don't know what it is, but the way they did the makeup and her hair and everything for the draft, I thought that's the best she's looked on TV. A lot of people had mentioned how pretty they made her up to be on the draft show and the after show, and I was thinking to myself, yeah, I mean, the girl's really pretty, but you know, whatever they did to kind of fix her hair or to do her makeup, it's been really complimentary to her. And I believe that you know, whatever it is, I mean, it's working for her for sure. And I think all the girls look really good tonight. I thought that Bayley and Sasha did a great job, not only, you know, doing that great teamwork. Of course, they are best of friends. It's been very highly documented. If you heard Sasha Banks, or you heard Bayley on the Talk is Jericho over the past week or so, that podcast was off the chain. And of course,
Bayley has such
a, they have such a tremendous respect and friendship. But I thought there was, you know, like you said, I thought the work was excellent. There was a time when the Blonde Ambition went to get Bayley off the top rope doing a high spot, and as they pulled her out, instead of doing a flat back bump, she ended up hitting her head on the back of the turnbuckle. And I just reeled and I said, oh my God. I mean, looked like she whiplashed, and that could have like totally took her out, but she went on continuing to do great stuff in the match. And, you know, she sold and everything looked really good, but man, I was worried about her because that's kind of the same thing that happened to Sting, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, you would figure the big botch in a match like that would be from old stupid, the janitor, you know, Dana Brooke. Europe, but I mean, I feel like they basically played a Japanese style. Yeah, and Sasha is like that. She's willing to be dangerous. The Brooklyn match and the match, the Iron Woman match, especially, they took some chances, some really scary, you know, some really scary moves where you land right in your head and your neck. And I know that's dangerous, but that's what I like about them. You know, they're very unique. Those three are something else. Charlotte is like I said, she doesn't really want to be a wrestler, but she's so outstanding as an athlete that she's naturally one of the best women's wrestlers that we've seen. Bayley has a natural charisma and is a ring general that can lead people through a match. We saw it in a tag match we saw live. And then Sasha's just outstanding. She could be in Japan right now. And they have three of the best women's workers in the world right now. That's never, ever happened before. You know, and even with Dana in there, they made it really great. And Bayley deserved this moment. She will be a huge star. This proved it. This is a perfect way to do it. I'm talking like The Rock coming out to fight, you know, for the title. Pop is what we heard. Huge, huge moment of the night.
It's very possible that we may, within the next year, see a women's match as a main event slot for WWE Raw.
They have to do it.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen, and it might very well be a pay-per-view caliber event. And it could definitely lead to that. And please, WWE, please, whatever you do, do not screw this up.
What I would like to see is Bayla. Who's that?
Baymella.
Now, who's that? What did she say? They said they gave her some choices for names. One of them was Davia. Did you hear that on the Jericho?
Instead of the original name that she had in the Indies, Davina Rose, they gave her Davia.
She's like, is this a typo? Oh, it's not a typo. Okay. Yeah. This is what it says. I would love to see Bayley fight Sasha for the title as a pay-per-view main event on a Raw pay-per-view. I don't see any reason you can't do that at this point with the way they have it set up.
No, they have Clash of Champions coming up. I think that could be an opportunity.
Okay. Well, but they need to make, I know Bayley's there and I think Sasha's there too. So why not babyface versus babyface, super duper heat. Let them go 30 minutes. Let it get Japanese.
Well, I tell you, it's not, there is an opportunity. I don't necessarily think Clash of Champions, it's going to be for the huge gold. It's going to be for the world title. However, there is other, you know, pay-per-view events coming up. I believe they do have Armageddon. I think they have put that on the list. It's coming back or something like that. So there's possible that in a fall slotted pay-per-view before the year's end, there is a possibility of that female's match going there. Or if anything, they're going to do it to pop a rating on Monday Night Raw. It's definitely going to have possibilities. Speaking of possibilities, you've got the brand new hair of a Bray Wyatt looking more and more like Rob Zombie as the days continue. Xavier Woods falling frozen to the gaze of the Wyatt family. And I tell you, this was also, I thought, a pretty good match. What did you think of the Wyatt versus New Day match? I thought it was good.
It was okay. And then it got really hot at the end where Xavier showed some fire and really fired up. And I think that might have been the second experiment of the night. Can Xavier fire up and hit a big dude and look good? I thought he looked really good in this. Bray's one of their four guys. I mean, you can't include Cena on the SmackDown thing in a weird way because they have to go on house shows. It's Ambrose, AJ, Orton, Wyatt. So Wyatt had to get a big pin. He hasn't really had one in years now. And, you know, I thought the match was okay. You know, when they did the ripoff of the Final Deletion, I felt like we were talking about it already. It was a ripoff of the Final Deletion. I didn't really like to see that. It brought up some bad memories for me of other things. I don't want to get into, but I just that sounded weird. But it just struck me.
Yeah, it was okay.
That's so, happened to me before. No,
would be in a car with. Being in a car with a man in a sheet mask chasing you down and hitting you in the windshield with a pickaxe, that's actually happened to you.
Not a pickaxe.
Okay. Hey, look, memorable quote of the night. Okay. Kofi Kingston says the WWE draft done split the Wyatt family like a Taylor Swift relationship. That was
excellent. They're very, very, very funny. They're very funny. And I'm glad they're still together.
Yeah. Very topical. A lot of pop culture there. Yeah. I thought, you know, it was a very good outing. You know, it was an average match. As you say, WWE's tag team division consistent as always, bringing you those two and a half, you know, two and and a half star matches.
Yeah, right. I know, right? Well, the end really fired up. I almost took it to three by the end. I mean, it got really fun.
Yes.
But, you know, I wanted to see Woods do that for a little bit. The Woods looked good in this, and Bray Wyatt got the clean pin, and, you know, whatever.
Well, talking about 2.5 star rated matches, you know, I never rate the matches, but I believe this is going to fall into that category. United States Championship, Rusev versus Woo Zack Ryder. Ugh. You know it. Rusev wins via submission. And once again, there has been a couple things, you know, Ryder and his patriotic ring gear and everything like that, getting an opportunity to shine. Do you think that and Mojo Rawley rushed out to help his tag team partner?
Oh yeah, so yeah.
You know that Mojo Rawley coming out there was a to a decent pop as well. But you know, once again, a very pedestrian match, and I think we're gonna we'll probably see a little bit more of this. I don't think this is the end. Do you think it's the end?
I think we'll see.
We'll see a blow-off match on Raw, don't you think?
I'm pretty sure Zack Ryder's not on Raw.
He's not on Raw. That's right. That's right. Sorry.
So is Rusev on Raw? See, I'm confused now.
I'm confused.
I think Rusev's on Raw, and then what's his face is on SmackDown. These are the two most obnoxious wrestlers I've ever seen. I cannot stand them. How about that? That's what I really want you to know.
Oh, I like both.
And that's great.
I like
it. And when I saw Zack Ryder come out, and you know, people said he didn't get his due because he put up a Twitter and his YouTube page got a bunch of hits and all this. And it's like, yeah, that's right. And I thought back and I'm like, I always hated this gimmick though. And this Mojo Rawley, you know, he's like the antithesis of Pat Riley. Does that make sense? Okay.
Pat Riley from the Lakers?
Well, that was one of his teams. You would say the Heat lately.
Oh, the Heat. Yes, of course. Yeah.
But yes. But I really can't stress enough how much I dislike Mojo.
Hey.
Yeah. So when I watched the match, I was active. You know, usually I'm an analyst, right? I'm like, okay, so this match is about 3 1/4 stars because he did that bridge a little wrong, right? But when I watched this match, I was like, get him, Rusev. Beat him up. Beat him to death. Like a fan would, like a stunt granny or any typical fan would do in the front row. Beat him up. Go Russia. You know, that's how much I didn't like, don't like Zack Ryder. So I gave the match 5 stars because he lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Sami Zayn's and Owens. Zayn wins via pinfall.
This match is great.
There is no end in sight, folks. There is no end in sight. It's like,
I know, right?
You know, is it possible that we can see these two wrestle more?
I don't know.
Or are you getting tired of this? Because it seemed to me like the crowd was into it.
Dude, this match was the shit. You know, I thought, oh God, they're doing Zayn Owens again. Oh God, man, they killed it. They just killed it. And I was really, I was left, maybe I'm just whatever, I was left thinking this is probably the best WWE match I've seen this year. I might be overrating that.
Mm.
But man, they really killed it on this one, and just constant botched move calling by Michael Cole, which is always, you know, pretty much every move is an exploder suplex. And just to tell him, exploder suplex is the one Nakamura does where it's like a backwards thing where you land on you. I just wanted him to know that.
Taz will tell you all about the exploder suplex.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Taz, look, Taz is good at suplexes. Yeah, I always liked Taz as a worker. Don't get it twisted. I'm serious. I always liked Taz as a worker. He never had more than a 3-star match before, but You are right. He never had anybody to work with that could kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the time he worked with Sabu, he was apart.
Well, the thing is, you know, well, when we talk about Taz, and I will say this, you know, there had been opportunity for him to do a really good program with Mike Awesome, but the fact of the matter is, it just didn't happen the way it was expected to. So anyway,
now Mike Awesome's had some killer matches.
Yeah, Mike, if anybody could have decent matches, you know, that wasn't there for just 6 months or so, like Chris Jericho or whatever the case is. I mean,
right.
It would have been him. But
Mike Awesome's family, I've always had Mike Awesome's back. I always will have Mike Awesome's back, and that's a fact, Jack.
Right. Yes, sir.
4.5-star match. I know I'm rating that high. I thought it was off the chart. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a good match. It was a great match. match. And, you know, I think we were kind of split 50-50 on this one, who was going to go over. I'm sure. Glad Zayn wins via pinfall. I think that he needed to win. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I don't think any shine was lost off the two competitors because the match was that damn good.
Well, you know, Owens, man, where's he going? He got drafted low. He did this. He's always funny. I don't know. I'm just surprised. I don't know. Sami Zayn, if you want a big baby face on Raw, make Sami Zayn. Okay. Yeah. Just make him, because I've about had it with the start stop bullshit, the 50-50. Put the guy over 100%.
Yeah, we're gonna see where all this leads for sure. But then, you know, our second women's match of the night, also very good, I thought.
Excellent. Now you the know? Crowd died because they were so up.
Yeah.
And the dead crowd heard it. But again, now this is like the opposite perspective. If you watch this with no sound, it was a really good match. Good psychology. Okay, yes. Natty was on tonight. Okay. You know, I mean, I don't, you know, Becky Lynch, you know, she's got a lot of fans out there, I guess, but I know you're one.
I am. I like Becky. I like Becky a lot. I like the two of these girls working together. I think they, I don't think necessarily they have the chemistry of a Charlotte versus Natalia, which I really like. I like the two of them.
Well, I like this better than those two matches. Than those two matches, actually. But those had more heat. Well, maybe.
Well, look, I'll put it to you like this. This was better than the two matches, yes, that she's had recently with Charlotte, not the other NXT / WWE Raw from like 2015 matches. Matches that they had. The 2016 Natalia versus Charlotte was not good, and that's just because of the booking and strangeness surrounding that. But
sure,
we have
booked them weird.
Booked them weird. So you have here great work from the two. I am a big Becky Lynch supporter, and I like the character. Like, I love the accent. Big fan of it. Big fan of the look, and a big fan of Natalia. You know, going heel. This is great. I'm glad she's going that way. And
big heel win.
Yeah, big heel win. And that's good, because Natalia, once again, proving that she's more than just someone that can smile and do red carpet interviews. She is actually someone that still has a lot of gas left in the tank. Great work. You know, let's see where this goes. Once again, you know, I feel that there's still a little bit more left in the gas tank for this particular feud. What say you on this?
I think they've made her the top female heel for SmackDown, and obviously Becky's a baby face. Now you can add more people. You could add Bailey. You could add, you know, Asuka. They'll never do that. But, you know,
she's still learning English.
I know them. But anyway, I mean, you need a strong heel. They put her over strong. It might be one of the biggest wins of her career if you think about it. It had no heat. It didn't really matter. The match was excellent. I know when I see a good match, it's in the 3-star range in a dead spot. So that's really hard to do. Good psychology. She worked the leg. She was consistent. It worked out good. And then it ended where she had a submission on the same leg. Active psychology throughout the whole match made sense. Natty was on. Becky sold well. That's all I need.
Moving on to Miz versus Darren Young in the IC title match. By themselves, Darren Young is a great performer. The Miz has stepped up his game. You saw his work in there with the U.S. title, with the Intercontinental Championship, with Zayn, with Rusev, with Owens, with Cesaro. He can hold his own, and he also can step up his game when needed to. However, when you catapult Darren Young in a situation where it was almost a fluke victory on Raw, you know, for him to get this, you know, to get this type of, you know, IC title thing going on, right?
Right.
Then you have Miz, who comes back after not fighting after shooting his movie for 30 days. And it's hard to get any type of reaction either way. Not to the fact that they had some crazy shenanigans going on outside of the ring with Maryse feigning injury, that Bob Backlund kind of pushed her, or whatever the case is. Very, very strange ending to this match. I think people were left confused over what happened and why things were happening. And I think maybe they could have gone over the finish maybe one, two, maybe a couple more times so that it actually looked convincing. Steven, I think this match failed on many different levels and did not do anything to elevate either superstar.
I think think you're right. I think I can explain what happened for everyone, because you see, I'm a big Bob Backlund fan.
Right.
As I've mentioned, I have his new book, and I'm a huge fan of his work in 1994 as a heel. And I know a lot about him from his book and his personal stuff, his interviews I've heard.
One of the longest reigning champions of all time. Mitch, by the way, I have to mention this too. Congratulations for New Day, because at least they are the longest reigning tag teams of all time in WWE, right?
Totally incorrect. That is totally not true. Demolition had it, I think, for 413 days.
Yeah, but was it the World Tag Team title or was it the WWE Tag Team titles?
What kind of question is that? What?
You know how the WWE is with semantics. You know, what title did they get?
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. They're right? Goofy. But, I mean, I don't know. No. I mean, are they? Why don't you ask me if I think they're as good as the British Bulldogs?
Okay, so let's move on.
Okay, what was I talking about? Yeah, what you need to understand about why the match went wrong, okay, is this, about Bob Backlund. Bob Backlund, whenever he gets involved in something, he gets into his Bob Backlund character, because it's very much a character. He plays it very well. People think it's really him. He
gets crazy in the big eyes.
When he goes into his character, I've seen this happen time and time again. I even saw it happen in TNA once. When he gets into character, crazy shit starts happening.
Yes.
Weird shit starts happening. Crazy stuff happens. And he's so crazy that I think it was just awkward. So when he started acting crazy in front of the girl and she pushed him and he stayed on the ground, it didn't make any sense. It was illogical. And then she slapped him, right? Okay, yes. So she slapped him and he just kind of looked at her, which makes no sense, because you're thinking, okay, somebody's just crazy. He's going to do something. And then the Miz pushed him on the ground. So Bob's like the baby face in peril, if you will, the heater that's the baby face's manager, and he's in peril. But he doesn't look like he's in peril, because quite frankly, he looks much crazier than all three of them combined could ever be if they were all on crystal meth. Okay. So it didn't make any sense. And then Darren Young to go outside. And then why would you call for a DQ if you're doing a crossface chicken wing outside? And that's why the British Bulldogs are much better. But no, for real. I mean, it didn't make any sense. Like, why are you DQing him for doing a crossface chicken wing outside? Why is that a DQ?
The call was wrong. The call should have been a count out.
It was very odd. I was getting excited because I'm a big Bob Backlund fan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh God, what's happening? And I got that eerie feeling like, here we go, something weird's happening.
But Darren Young applies the crossface chicken wing on the Miz outside and did not bring it back to the ring. I guess you could call it a disqualification for that. He did tap out outside of the ring, but that would have been an out of ring count out. That wouldn't have been necessarily disqualification, and I guess maybe he got disqualified for being outside of the ring.
Whatever happened, it came across very confusing, and that was the problem.
That's the whole point, right? So, right. Because we can retcon it and fix it however you want, but once again, it didn't do anybody any favors, and this is the problem when you have stuff like that happen outside of the ring instead of clear, like someone jumping on the apron and then feigning injury and then other stuff happen, because once again, Bob Backlund, Bob Backlund was doing what he tried to do, and I think he even knew that something got botched there. So,
I got that vibe from him that he's like, I'm telling you, I've seen this happen.
Yeah.
Go watch on TNA, if you can find on YouTube, where he's with Kurt Angle, and he's like going to show him how he does the chicken wing. He's just nuts. He's nuts.
Yeah, I remember that. That was very good.
He's nuts. He's a nutty person.
Last but not least, once again, I thought this was a great match myself. I enjoyed it. We've got Enzo and Cass with John Cena. So we have the babyface trio against the club. The match ended up going great. All the spots I thought were pretty, pretty good. The promo of Enzo and Cass with John Cena in the corner was really, really good.
Fantastic. I mean,
holy smoke.
Boy.
You are now looking at the Mount Rushmore of certified Gs from Enzo Amore. Never make eye contact with anyone when you're eating a banana.
That's true.
That is also very true, Enzo Amore. It is very true. But and a lot of great high spots in this. Spine Buster on the announce table.
Yeah.
Attitude adjustment from the top rope. Result, the baby faces pull out a victory, eke out a victory over the club. Very decent. Your thoughts?
I just thought, it should have gone 20 minutes instead of 15, and it looked really rushed at the end. It should have been the classic of the pay-per-view. That's what it was looking like going in. Of course, Owens, Zane had their WWE Classic. That's what. That's just what I feel. I think I'm probably right, though, because I'm always right just about all the time. I think, you know, the mic work he did at the beginning was some of the best stuff I've seen. I mean, especially with this shit era of mic work, you know, where The Rock comes back for 30 minutes and we're just, oh, my God, The Rock's out there talking. This guy is really good. I don't know if he's as good as that. But, you know, he was doing so good that Cena was just sitting on the apron just watching this guy like, wow, this guy's so amazing. So it's funny to see how over he is. You know, this is another Terry hasn't seen Raw in a long time. And she's like, she couldn't believe how over Enzo and Cass are now. You know, it's only been a couple of months and they're so over, you know, they're so over. So this was the third bright spot of the night. Bayley was tremendous. Owen Zane and then Enzo cutting this promo. The match itself was really, really good. It was really solid. A lot of good work. I just wanted it to be a little longer because I saw them rushing spots at the 10 minute mark. And I'm like, oh, shit, they're going home, you know, and they did some good stuff. And yeah, I like the table spot and all that stuff to kind of set up other things. And Enzo's kind of the human punching bag. That's kind of his gimmick. And I knew AJ would take the clean pin from Cena, like I was saying, which did happen. You know, when he took the Styles Clash from AJ, from Cena took the Styles Clash, I almost saw him move his, I swore I saw him almost move his head in the wrong direction. Let me just tell you that would be a catastrophe. And just on a real tip, I would instruct him not to do the Styles Clash. I have a feeling somebody's going to get hurt like Yoshi did.
It's possible.
I just have a funny feeling. Yeah,
it's definitely possible. Well, it's a good thing he's got that phenomenal forearm, as well as a calf crusher to deal with. So once again, you know, I believe that this is going to continue, at least with the two. You know, I think that actually this will split off, I believe, and have two separate feuds going on two different shows with the club and Enzo Amore and Big Cass and, of course, Cena and AJ Styles. So
yeah,
I give it a great grade on that particular match. Talking now, Chris Jericho, drink it in, man.
The great
highlight reel against Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought the segment was okay. Once again, Jericho does his very best. Orton, I think, you know, flubby a little bit on his lines because I think once again he cares more about hitting the lines than actually being a little authentic. And he tries. I think he was just kind of, you know, I think coming back after a 9-month absence, you know, he has a lot to prove that he is still the man. And once again, I think WWE had missed out on the whole RKO out of nowhere thing. So I think they're trying to get that heated back up again. So
thank you.
What are your thoughts on that, on this particular segment? Do you have any on it? Because, I mean, I'm just like, hey, it is what it is.
Well, no. The no enhancement needed line and then the little mic drop, I think, was supposed to garner a bigger reaction. It did get a big pop because this fantastic crowd. I would just say that Randy Orton is one to talk. You know, he's failed. He failed in 2006. In 2008, he was on the list of people that had been getting stuff online. And then he had another failure in 2012 that he had a suspension from, and then he got off on good behavior and had one strike eliminated. I mean, this guy has some dirty piss over the years, so he shouldn't be talking about him pissing dirty.
I thought that was the pot calling the kettle black for sure.
Yeah, come on, man.
I mean, what the hell, dude? I mean, really?
Yeah.
So I found it kind of disingenuous, and I also found him, you know, messing up on his lines, just kind of being unsure of himself. Whatever, you know, whatever, Randy. Look,
I'm not a big Randy guy. They've pushed him down my throat for 15 years, and it's just like I've never. I mean, whatever. He's good, and he's a good worker, and he's a great character, and he gets. But I just don't give a shit about him. I never have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got you. So here we are. We're down to the nitty gritty of the show.
Okay.
And here we have the triple threat match with Reigns coming back from his 30-day suspension, sporting the got the goatee chilling, got the beard chilling.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose as a champ and Seth Rollins. This had a lot of great stuff in the actual match itself.
Yeah.
I thought it was actually very, very good.
Very good.
It was well played. A lot of stuff going on. The announcers, I thought, sold it very well. However, I think punishment has been dealt out for Roman Reigns. And the result being Ambrose wins via pinfall to retain the WWE Championship. And we know that the WWE Championship is going to SmackDown. So, of course, the general managers and, you know, Shane and Stephanie were out there as well, cheering on their perspective, talents. But It looked to me Stephanie was not very happy, and maybe this is the impetus for Raw to start looking to do their own championship as a means to an end. So your thoughts?
Reigns looked weird, first of all. You know, the beard was there, but he kind of looked fatter as well. Maybe it was what he was wearing, and maybe it was, but his arms looked weird and his chest, stomach, and then he had the beard. And I'm like, this, he looks really big. I'm going to get a little weird here, but let me just say this, okay? Because this deals with the main event scenario. The main event scenario before is Roman Reigns is going to be the big pushed guy, right? The hunky Samoan, right, he was. That's probably over. The hunky Samoan with the tattoos and the long hair. But there's this funny thing about guys. You know, once they get a little bigger right here in the jaw, sometimes they just look different, you know? And that's what's happened to him. He's crossed over into that different look, and that's why he grew the beard, because he's fat now. He's not a hunk anymore. And you can blame it on being depressed from dirty piss. Okay, let me back up though. But that look told me he was no longer in their sights as the top guy. You know what I'm saying though?
Right, because he didn't have that quote unquote that
he didn't have that sexual charm.
That magnetic merchandising machine. It's like he really did kind of some people would say that he let himself go during this 30-day suspension.
Or maybe it didn't matter anymore, right. You know. Okay, so that's the first thing I noticed. I'm kind of like looking at him like, wow, this is weird. You know, Rollins is slower. Sorry, guys. I've just noticed it. He's slower. And Ambrose is fine. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was just simply going to say, you know, you've been talking about him coming back from injury, Rollins. And I'm just simply saying that I think, you know, being slower, maybe more cautious, you know, because this is the first time I'm able, this is the first time I'm actually seeing kind of, I'm kind of caving in to what you're talking about, because I didn't want to necessarily believe it. I'm like, you know what? Okay, so, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know. But they did give this match a lot of time. And in that time, you could see, I think he was a little bit, he was moving slower, maybe more calculated as to not exacerbate the injury, right? So.
Yeah, well, that's a nasty little injury when you get it the first time, from what I understand. I've never had it, although I got a feeling I'll have that surgery one day.
Right.
I'm really getting that sense more and more.
Getting that way, yeah.
I'm feeling it, but
not getting any younger. I thought, once again, great chemistry. I don't know how much more they can go to the well with this. We've seen a lot of main events with Rollins and Ambrose over the past few weeks, and I think unnecessary times they've put them together, unnecessary times they've had really weird botchy finishes. This finish was definitely definitive, in my opinion. So overall, it didn't go down the way I thought it would be. I thought maybe they changed their mind, obviously, by giving away a type of match that we would think maybe it was a red herring to throw the audience off, saying, well, we saw them kind of have a clean ending on Tuesday. We saw them have a botchy ending, a schmozzy type of ending at the end of Monday Night Raw, where you had to look at the app to find out who won, which was also kind of crazy and confusing.
Weird.
But here you have a great match, great work rate, awesome selling, great superstars interaction, and of course the crowd once again showing their displeasure of Roman Reigns. So overall, I thought it was very good, and I did not expect to see, believe it or not, I did not expect to see Dean Ambrose walk out as a WWE Championship clean.
Well, the smart money had him going over it late. I thought that's funny, but I thought maybe they're changing courses and doing something with Raw, and Stephanie gets mad. I can't believe it. I'm going to use my lady balls and make a decision.
I knew it was a matter of time before you
said that. And we're going to, that's the first time I thought of it since we've been doing this, and make a decision. And we're going to have a tournament and blah, 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 blah. So there you go. I think with Reigns, they need to go ahead and make him a heel. He looks like more of a heel today. He was making facial expressions like he was turning heel. Or maybe, I mean, I got bad news for everybody. He is a heel. Mm-hmm. He's been a heel for a while because the crowd decided they don't give a shit. And this dark experiment, our national nightmare may be over. it may finally be over here, because now you pissed off Vince McMahon. And I got to tell you, that's really not good when you work for him. That's proof.
The proof is there, has been there for a while. As I was going to say, the proof is in the pudding. And we shall see where all of this goes. Monday Night Raw, of course, happening. The very first Monday Night Raw. I think you could expect to see maybe a new intro, new music.
Did you see the logo?
I didn't see the logo. They have a new logo for Raw?
Oh, wow. It's really wacky. You need to look at that. It's strange. It sort of looks like Ram pickups. Logo.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I see it right here. The new logos for Raw and SmackDown Live. Wow. How about that?
Mikey, huh? SmackDown. Wow. Yeah, I'm like, that's weird.
That's kind of weird. I mean, it looks they look like logos I could have put together on my primitive paint program.
I wanted to say, like, I could probably come up with a better logo than that.
I think maybe our pro wrestling cast logo looks better than that.
Oh. We should redo our pro wrestling cast logo to look like that shit logo, and
there it is. It's announced on WWE.com. New logos for the brand for the new era. Raw does look raw tough. SmackDown looks like weird, very video game-esque. I don't know how to describe it.
Hey, I got NXT. I got the Cruiserweight Classic. I got New Japan. I got DDT. Everything's good, baby. I ain't worried about a logo. But that looks like a Ram pickup truck, right?
Yeah. So very, very different. A lot of people here are talking about how much they dislike it on the WWE website with a new logo.
Really? That's
true. I think they're fine. I really do think they're fine. At the end of the day, I'm sure they're going to look really good. Some people are saying, why don't they just dump the live part of SmackDown in the comments? And I'm like, because they want to tell people that SmackDown is live on Tuesdays, folks. Of course, they're not going to drop that.
You know what?
Call it SmackDown Live, people.
Yeah, no, you have to get that over. You know what I would tell McMahon if I saw him and he asked me about that Raw logo?
What would you say?
I'd say, delete. And get Senior Benjamin to Photoshop you an extraordinary logo. You know, we didn't mention that Matt Hardy on Reddit had a Reddit Q&A, which was really good. Everyone should reread it.
Okay.
Talks about Skarsgård and his scientists. And one gentleman said, what do you think about the fact, are you aware of the fact you have a large following in the gay community? And he wrote, delightful.
Delightful, yes.
It's delightful.
Yeah. Yes. So, you know, in our little wrestling board that, you know, it's a closed board, you know, we discuss things. You know, people have dissension even among us, you know, over tonight's show.
Really?
He said it was the best show of the year. And Bill said really disappointed with the pay-per-view. They could have really done so much more. I thought the pay-per-view was pretty boring because he had seen these matches before. And I'm thinking to myself, well, let me see, Bill. Sure. If you are, you know, disappointed because you've seen Owens and Zayn over again like 30 times or so, I'm sorry. You know, I thought you were a big fan of Work Rate.
Oh, take it easy. Hey, wait, what bill is that?
Well, no, I'm giving their first names on here. I'm not giving their last name.
The
pay-per-view, they could have really done so much more, but I thought the pay-per-view was pretty boring. This is not my comment. This is Bill's comment.
I understand.
And so...
And we shouldn't give his last name, obviously.
No, I'm not giving his last name, but I'm just saying that maybe you will never be satisfied with anything. The matchups may not have been fresh, but they were these are initially kind of like blow-offs for these things as they go their separate ways, if you will, you know. But having said that, a big fan of, let's see, when you can, and once again, my criteria is, will I go watch this again? I will, yes, because you have more than maybe 3.5, 3.7 star matches on this that are not bad. I mean, you have two great girls matches.
One,
you've got yourself the Zayn Owens match, you have the great three way, and you have the great triple threat tag team match, or the six man tag. That alone is five matches, and they're all over 3.5 stars.
I would say you have five matches over 3 stars.
Okay.
Not 3.5, but you definitely have a 4.5 star match. You have a lot of consistency. You have probably you're in the 3.5 to 4 star range on most. One's about a 3 star to me, and then definitely 4.5 for one. I think it was one of the best pay-per-views of the year. I think it was. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be, and that's always when it's really special. I'd have to look back at the pay-per-view. I mean, WWE pay-per-views. Okay, let me just
be real specific. WWE pay-per-view.
I think it had their best match of the year so far. Oh,
my specific comment is take inventory of the 3-star-plus matches, and you'll see that show was over average.
I saw that just now.
Over average.
Yes, over average.
And you'd be really disappointed. They could have done more. Yes, they could have done more, but maybe you didn't like the draft either, you know, for whatever reason it is, and we've described it ad nauseum.
Well, I got in a lot of trouble for hating the draft. I was given a lot of dissension for my hatred of the draft.
Yeah, well, I think the draft could have been better in so many different ways. Is it the best show of the year so far? It's possible.
Maybe so.
Is it, I don't know. I still think that maybe the Takeover Dallas was probably somewhat of a better show.
It was a concise, more, I like a 2-hour show because I'm used to Clash of the Champions and a bunch of 3 or 4-star matches. Mm-hmm. That was the closest thing to a Clash of the Champions for me.
Right, right.
It was Dallas Takeover.
Yeah, Dallas Takeover, I think, was probably one of the better shows overall. I think this one's probably in my top 5. So believe it or not, I came in with no expectations, and it was definitely one to see again. So that was our overall review. What say you? I would suspect you need to go ahead and help us out and leave those different comments regarding this show on our social media pages. Your final thoughts on this before we move on to your brief review on Scott Hall, or do we want to post that later on? Because we're kind of running out of time, I think.
We can save it for later. I thought it was really about save those thoughts for later.
Okay, very good. I tell you what, let's go ahead and play our promo of the week. And you know, we talk a little bit about what's going on with the
promo of the week. Like, who's like Dusty Rhodes? Is it Ric Flair? Is it maybe it's somebody like Ole or Arn Anderson?
Oh, no.
Oh, it's Roddy Piper. He's really
good. No, sir. No,
not
sir.
Roddy Piper. Okay.
This is a promo. This, sir.
Okay.
Is promo of that is most excellent in its capturing of the live vibe.
Okay.
This should be something that should never be deleted. It was very delightful, as it was McMahon's promotion that did this particular promo that will forever live in the annals of the promo of the week history. And I am talking about Kalisto and his Botchamania worthy draft second screen experience promo. Steven, this promo
is 5 stars.
It is 5 stars. I don't know. Do you want to set this up?
I just don't let Kalisto do promos. Don't let Kalisto do promos anymore. Don't let Kalisto do promos.
Yeah, this by far is the reason why we all watch. We all watch the WWE Network. This is why we watch. So, without any further ado, here is Kalisto in quite possibly the best Botchamania moment this year.
Promo of the week.
And alone, you became United States champion. What can we expect from you on SmackDown Live?
Well, hey, I'm here. Like I said before, I'm here to shock the world. I'm ready.
Ready
to show my lucha art inside and outside the ring. But first of all, I can't stop thinking about Baron Corbin being on SmackDown. I get to have my revenge. Is that okay? Hey, like I said, I'm here to stay. Make a good lucha thing. God damn!
That's stupid.
Don't you love how he just like just briefly said, just took the Lord's name in vain right at the very end?
Yeah.
I just
thought it was really funny. Oh, I was just caught off guard by how funny that was. I didn't know that was. Yeah. You might need a little bit more training.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right. So thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, Stephen, where can people find you on the internet?
You'll never find me because I'm never anywhere. But I'm at Dr. Death Mark.
Yeah.
And a big plug, Carl Stern from Dragon King Carl on Twitter actually had a audio on the Wrestling Observer website every day this month, and he did one on Dr. Death Steve Williams in his entire career. Carl Stern, good old boy from Alabama. Great podcaster.
Very, very nice. All right, very good. And once again, you can find me at Aljon Rocks at P Wrestling Cast. Of course, that's the official Twitter of Pro Wrestling Cast, as well as Jedi Mouseketeer. If you want some more great podcasts in regard to Disney, Lucasfilm, Star Wars, of course, and Marvel. Yes, there you go. So there you go. There you have it. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be back with more great wrestling news sometime later on this week. In the meantime, don't forget to tuck your head. And we'll see you next time. Nick Bockwinkle for life. Adios.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Fuck, for saying what needed to be said.